Good morning. You know, I sat here and just to hear the beautiful rendition of worship. And I just want to say, you guys must be proud of all of this beautiful worshipers you have here. Just the presence of God that is just been kind of warming the place up. I don't know about you, but I almost jumped on my feet and say, amen. But I realized that I'm in a Brethren church. Because, you know, in the Brethren church, we can be the frozen chosen. Because out in my church, you're welcome to get up and dance. And we sincerely mean it. If the song touches you and the spirit moves, hallelujah, praise God, it's a good place to be. And I wish we can express, sometimes those emotions really helps us get a grasp of God and whose we are. Amen? Amen. Yes, so, wow. Yes. I bring you greetings from Annual Conference office. Annual Conference exists to equip, unite, and strengthen the Church of the Brethren to follow Jesus. I want to thank you, specifically John Schaefer, for inviting me, for reeling me in. He's kind of like the, you know, when a fisherman goes out to the, or a fishing woman lady goes out to the shore, she throws out a hook. All you wait is for that bob to start moving, and then you reel it in. And John really got me. He heard I was coming to the Mission Alive conference in Frederick, Maryland, and he said, yeah, wouldn't it be good if you come up here? I said, yeah, I wasn't sure I was going to come to Mission Alive, but now that you've invited me, I'm coming. So I can be here. So thank you so much, Brother John. And like he said, honestly, I have grown to become, John has grown to become a dear friend to me and a brother. And I treasure those moments. And you know, the greatest gift that God gives us is the great gift of friendship, the gift of companionship, the gift of knowing that if I ever get stuck in Virginia, I can say, John, where are you? And I know he will be there. And the many friendships that God is going to continue to add to my layers and layers of relationship. And we should never take that for granted. And I often don't take privileges like this to be able to speak at a church for granted either. Because as I crisscross the country, traveling from congregation to congregation, from district events, district gathering to district conferences, it has been a great eye-opener for me. I tell you, the Church of the Brethren is involved in mission. A lot of the churches are really locally involved. Globally, by that I mean they are globally involved in mission, like giving towards the Nigeria crisis, the Puerto Rico crisis, all of the crises that we see that kind of tend to be on our radar in this last couple of years. And they have been involved in their own local community. And that, when I see a church involved in their local community, it gives me the hope that yes, though we might be few in number, but we are arising from the ashes. Amen? Amen. Please feel free to say amen. You know, I preached at a Baptist church a couple of weeks back, just at the Good Friday service, which is about a week ago. And they sandwiched me. I was one of the two non-Baptists they put there so they can save us. That's what I said to them. Because you know how the Baptist preachers get up and they do all the altar call? By the time I was done with preaching, the other guy came to me and said, hey, you're a Baptist. I said, no, I'm not brethren. I'm not Baptist. You Baptists are brethren. You just don't know it yet. So in my travels, I have experienced the great hospitality. And I want to say, sisters and brothers, our church is alive. Our church, in the midst of the struggle, it is alive. Not because we have the largest of all numbers, but God is moving in our midst. The train is at the station. The train is moving. And I invite you that your eyes, your minds, your spiritual eyes, and your spiritual ears will be able to hear when the Spirit is moving, that you can get on the train, get on with the program. And I don't mean this in any way to say you are not getting on the program, but I'm just saying, let us be sensitive to what God is doing. Because when we respond to what God is doing, we find ourselves much more fulfilled, much more becoming the beacon of hope in a world that things seem to be going down, like they say, hell in a handbasket. So I want to begin my sermon with a question. I often like asking questions because when I ask questions, it helps me to think through what I'm getting myself into. So have you ever wondered why Jesus uses parables so frequently in his teaching? Please ponder this question with me, and I invite you to pray with me. God, speak. God, let your children listen and give us a heart to respond. In Christ's name, amen. So, but before I get into my sermon, I like so many U-turns. I'll take you on one of those U-turns from annual conference, because I will not do justice to you that the annual conference moderator came to speak at your church and didn't say a word about annual conference. Because when I get back, I have to report back to my leadership team. Did you tell them about conference? Did you get them signed up? No, I'm not supposed to get you signed up. But I want to share a little bit about conference with you. The theme for annual conference 2018 is Living Parable. And by living parable is a constant reminder as I travel the denomination. I remind every single church and every congregation that God is calling us to be the epitaph, a witness in our community. And when I talk about living parable, I'm not talking about, when you read the parable, we think about, that will be a good story for that people out there. But by living parable, it's a call for the church to look at themselves and to reflect on how is Oakton Church of the Brethren being a parable to the community around you? When the neighbors to your north, south, east, or west, I am directionally challenged because you guys have mountains. In Illinois, we know everything is flat. I can tell you where north is. It doesn't matter where, because I look at a grid, I can tell you where I'm facing. But here, you've got mountains. But when your neighbors to either side of the community looks at your church and they open the pages of the Bible, can they say, indeed, Oakton represents what I'm reading? After conference, when I announced my theme, Living Parables, you know, at conference, for those of you that have gone to conference on the Sunday morning before after the worship, when the moderator announced the theme for conference, the charade falls down, the balloons and all the fanfare. Sure, it does happen. I don't know about you, but it happened in my mind. And I started getting emails from me, well-meaning brothers and sisters saying, Brother Samuel, we have got this idea. If you can preach this sermon, I have preached a whole series on the parables of Jesus. Just take the tape and send it to all the churches and they can play it and they'll be great. And some send me good emails saying, you know, Brother Samuel, if you can get the whole church to study this one parable, we will all be united in one accord and we will have a clear biblical interpretation of what this parable is and we will all look alike. And I say, oh, wow, fascinating. Kind of take God's creativity out of being looking alike. But I believe that all of the sisters and brothers were well-meaning They really wanted us. It's their love and their passion for the church. And as a result of that, they want to be able to see others catch that same passion. And so I want to say to you, sisters and brothers, by the theme Living Parable, it's a call to a daily examination of how am I being a parable? How are you being a parable? Not only to the community around you, to your family, when you drive on the freeways, how are you being a parable? Can people look at you and say, indeed, this individual is a follower of Jesus? Not in some kind of a baseball bat Bible way. You know, some of us have a baseball bat Bible. We take it around and wag it at people and say, have you found Jesus? We knock people down with it. That's not what I mean. But it's a call to sincerely examine your life, my life. Is my love for God so passionate? Is my love for God so deep that I am willing to lay down my life like Jesus called us to? Let me go back to my sermon. I know I have a tendency to go off tangent. Back to the question that I ask you, have you ever wondered why Jesus' use of parable was so frequent? And Jesus is constantly telling cleverly parables. And when Jesus tells a parable, Jesus begins to reel his listeners. Jesus reel his followers. And because Jesus, when he tells parables, that parable always have a punchline. But the parable don't often have the same punchline. Because in the list of the parable, you and I will find our lives in every single story that Jesus tells. And in this parable, as you find yourself in the story, oftentimes at every junction in my life, when I read the parable of the sower, I imagine myself sometimes as the sower. I imagine myself sometimes as the seed that falls on the wrong ground. I imagine myself as the ground itself. And so at every junction in my own personal journey, I find myself stuck somewhere. And then God, through the scripture, illuminate my heart to see where I need to go back in line, to realign my life. It would be a mistake to imagine every single parable will have the same message every time you read it, because the parables, the stories, comes in multiple facets. And because they come in multiple facets, they meet you where you spiritually are needed to be touched. So when Jesus tells a parable about the sower, everybody around the farming community have an understanding of a sower. I can talk about sowing of a seed in Rockford, because all around my church is either a cornfield or a soybeans field. Because everybody around there knows the concept of sowing. But what about fishing? When Jesus tells parable about fish, do you think there's something there for me? I think there is something there for me. But what happened is Jesus always addressed a context that people can understand and make meaning out of it. If we get stuck in really trying to figure out every single word and phrase in a parable, you know the concept that says you can't see the forest from the tree. We sometimes get lost because and I'm not against academia. I, for one, am addicted to going to school, but sometimes, which I need counseling, by the way. Sometimes in the field of academia, we get stuck on just one word, one phrase, and we miss all that God is doing. Jesus said 700 years, God before the prophet, through the prophet Isaiah said, he said, go and tell these people, be ever hearing and never understanding, be ever seeing and never perceiving. Make the heart of the people callous, because Jesus' arrival had been prophesied 700 years prior to his arrival by the prophet Isaiah. And even when Jesus came and walked the earth, people were still imagining and waiting for Jesus to come. And there are people that are still waiting for Jesus. I'm not talking about the second coming. But there are people that are still waiting for the first coming of Christ to be birthed. But Jesus' parable are a lesson for us to understand, a lesson to engage us that have known that, yes, Jesus came, walked this earth, and he has departed back to heaven. But the parables are to invite us to begin to imagine what the kingdom of God is like. And not only imagine, but to be able to live out what the kingdom of God can be like. Because the world is longing for that same kingdom. So a brief definition of parable from my own simple layman's understanding. A parable is commonly a description of an earthly story with heavenly meaning. A parable, from the simplest I can bring it to, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And if I am called to be a living parable, that my life is an earthly story that tells the meaning of what heaven should look like. Your life cannot be any different from the reflection of what it means to be the kingdom of God. And I'm not talking about waiting for the kingdom of God by and by when we wait and the bus comes and take some out there and then they will make heaven and the rest of us, oh, poor you that don't believe in whatever spectrum you are in the tribulation. But the simple truth is we can begin to live the kingdom of God here on earth by the manner of our living. By Jesus' telling parable, he said that he told the parable as a way of invitation so that people that have ears, they can hear. And I'm not talking about physical ear, spiritual ear, that they can hear and understand what it means. You know, if you go back to the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles, the chronicler, when he listed all the different tribes and all the different people group that existed, the chronicler, when he came to the tribe of Issachar, he said the tribe of Issachar understood their time and fulfilled the purposes of God for their time. The question that I'm asking you, Oakton Church of the Brethren, do you understand the time that you're living in? And are you fulfilling the purposes of God for your time? Friends, there is a greater call that you and I can live out why we are here. Jesus' parable were told in three different ways, and then I'll go sit down, because three different types of parable, and then we will wrap up, I'll wrap up the sermon. The three types of parable that Jesus tells are similitudes. The kingdom of God is like, and in this kind of parables are the parables we find the parable of the sower, the parable of the weeds, the parable of the mustard seed or the hidden treasures. So Jesus is liking the kingdom of God is like a sower who went out to sow. Oh, Jesus is saying the parable of the kingdom of God is like the weed that grows amongst the tares, and all the people that says, oh, should we go out and just remove the tares or remove the weeds from the tares? And he said, don't do it. When the harvester comes, the harvester will do the business of the separation. We can see that in this category of parable, Jesus is inviting his listeners and is inviting us right down through the corridors of history to continue to imagine what does the kingdom of God look like for me when I get up tomorrow morning. The second kind of parable that Jesus talks about is the parabolic sayings of Jesus. And the parabolic sayings are simple. Physician, heal thyself. You know, some of us really know how to fix other people, but we cannot fix ourselves. I don't know about you, but I sometimes find myself really good at fixing people, but not fixing myself. And in this kind of saying, Jesus is calling his listeners to be introspective, to reflect and say, how am I responding to the situation that I find myself? And in this case, another example of this kind of parable is the blind leading the blind. The student is not above his master or her master. And then we come to the third kind of parable, which is the whole parable, which is a full parable. And this we find in the story of the Good Samaritan. In this kind of story, Jesus tells the story, that story that narrates how this Samaritan was on a journey. And in this journey, every juncture in the journey have an intersection where each and every one of us can find a segue. You either get on-ramp or off-ramp. I don't know about you, but when I read the story of the Good Samaritan, there are days that I read it and I go, oh, poor me, Pharisee. I am exactly no different from the priest that is headed to go perform his religious rituals. And then sometimes I find myself being the Samaritan. And at other times I've found myself being the guy that has been robbed and beaten and waiting to die. It may not be in literal format, but in a spiritual sense, you get beaten and you're all left at the mercy of somebody left at the mercy of a good Samaritan. And another example in this kind of parable is the prodigal son, where you read the story of the prodigal son and you find your stories. So the invitation this morning is, where do you find yourself intersected in the story of these parables? And if you do, how are you living out? How am I living out what Christ calls me to be in this world? My prayer is that the Holy Spirit will continue the journey that has begun in you. It's begun in us. That as a denomination, we will find ourselves, as we claim the New Testament church, that we will truly be the church that stands out, that even in these days that we live in that is evil, like the tribe of Issachar, it will be said that the church of the brethren understood their time and fulfilled the purposes of God for their time. And may it be so with you. Amen.